Good morning, my dear brothers and sisters, in the Lord Jesus Christ, and young friends. I bring with me the fraternal greetings of the Hastings Ecclesia. We all send their love to you all here. And it's great to be back again in the Bay of Plenty and to meet with you all here. I always enjoy my March visit. So I can also attend the Hamilton Fraternal yesterday, which was great. The exhortation theme this morning is what we have in Matthew chapter 24, where Jesus warns, watch and be ready. So the theme, watch and be ready. How exciting is it to contemplate the work ahead of us in the new year? The new year of which I speak is that which commences from the return of our Lord Jesus Christ and the establishment of God's kingdom on this earth. If we are acknowledged as his friend, it will be the year when we shall be made like him, as he now is. And that means the end of our days of mortality, to run and not be weary, to walk and not faint. This time of blessing is near. We all know that. And we see confirmation of our hopes in the events of the past year. This morning we have heard Jesus speaking about this time in answer to the earnest question of his disciples. As we read in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 3, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the age? The answer of Jesus spake of the end of the Jewish age and events leading up to the fall of Jerusalem, the scattering of the Jews, which was fast approaching, and the end of the Gentile age in which we live, with the coming of the Lord in power and great glory. Jesus went through the awful catalogue of events which were to happen. They must not be deceived by those who came in his name, claiming to be the Christ. The fact that even those closest to him might be so deceived should be a warning to us. There was much that would happen before the end. Wars, commotions, nation against nation, earthquakes, famine, and disease would all come. Fearful sights and great signs would precede the end. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. As we read in this chapter, verses 12 and 13. In Luke chapter 21 and verse 19, we read, words of Jesus, in your patience possess ye your souls. Or Rotherham's translation, by your endurance ye shall gain your lives for a possession. The Apostle James speaks of this. He says, The trying of your faith worketh patience, and this implies waiting. The trying of your faith worketh patience. Remember concerning Jacob in Genesis chapter 49 and verse 18, he said, I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. And since the time of our Lord's ascension to heaven, the Lord's true followers have patiently and longingly turned to the Word to seek evidence as to when this great event will occur. But does the Word actually tell us when the Lord will return? It does, but not quite in the way we might expect or want. In Psalm 102, verse 13, we read, Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favour her, yea, the set time is come. The set time is come. There is a time appointed, as Rotherhithe declared in his version. There is a precise time predetermined in the mind and plan of God when Jesus will leave God's right hand and return to this earth. No one on earth can alter this precise time. It cannot be brought forward, nor can it be delayed. But the Lord Jesus made very clear in Matthew 24 and verse 36, But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. In Mark chapter 13 and verse 33, Jesus says, For ye know not when the time is. In light of this knowledge of a set time, which no man can determine, what is the wise action of the servants of Yahweh? And of course, as we've read in this chapter, it's to be watchful and be ready. Matthew 24, verse 42, Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. To watch is to be awake, to keep vigil, to be attentive to what may come, to heed, to take measures of precaution, to keep guard, to wait, to attend with alert vigilance and close observation. As we sung the hymn, Clear is our Lord's command. Clear is our Lord's command. Mark 13, verse 37, Jesus says, What I say unto you, his immediate disciples, I say unto all, watch. Brothers and sisters, we need to be ever conscious of the signs of the times. But more importantly, we need to appreciate that the day and the hour remain hidden from the understanding of man. Therefore, it is essential to be ready for the Lord's advent at all times. A further clear indication as to when the Lord will come is given by Jesus in Matthew 24, verse 44, where he says, "For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." It is just when you are least expecting him that the Son of Man will come. "Therefore be ye also ready." Our Lord and Master, whom we have gathered together to remember this morning, has warned us to be alert, to be ready, and if we are among those who are earnestly and ardently long for his return and his anticipated coming is a living reality to us, we will do everything we can to be ready. Matthew 24 and verse 43, Jesus says, "But know this, that if the good man of the house had known," notice those two words, "had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched. He would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up." You can say the question, is this not obvious? We are all aware of Christ's warning, and we all have implicit confidence in the truth of it. Therefore, it behoves us to endeavour to be in a constant state of readiness. Jesus says, "Therefore be ye also ready." Brothers and sisters, the question for each one of us is, are we ready? It may seem an absurd question. Of course we are ready. The return of Jesus is the greatest of our expectations. Our prayers reflect our desire for his return. Brother Sy opened our meeting this day. We are constantly watching the signs of his return. We long for the day of his appearing. This is true. But are we ready? Surely a vital question for each one of us to ponder as we examine ourselves and partake of the emblems in remembrance of our absent Lord. And Jesus helps us to do this in the exhortation given to his disciples in the parables he spake, which occupy two-thirds of the Olivet prophecy, Matthew chapters 24 and 25. We note in the parable of the 10 virgins that they all go forth to meet the bridegroom, expecting to be granted entrance to the kingdom. All take up their lamps, God's word. But with five of them, something is wrong. What is it? We have the answer in verse 3. Christ's assessment of all the virgins is based upon one thing: their disposition and conduct in regard to the oil. The oil is representative not merely of the word, but the light of the word. The oil is therefore also representative of the light of a godly character shining forth from the hearts and minds of men and women who have been called to the truth. The five foolish virgins have their Bibles, but do not allow the power of the word to transform their lives into godliness. They are not walking in the light. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Remember in John chapter 11 and verse 28, we have the words of Martha to Mary. And Martha says, the Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. And we note Mary's response. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Returning to the parable, although the wise were asleep, as well as the foolish, there was a marked difference between the response of the two classes. And it's the response that is important. We note the invitation to come out to meet him. All of the virgins arose, but only five were ready. The five foolish had not prepared themselves in their day of opportunity and rushed off in another direction to buy oil. Five accepted the invitation and went immediately. See, there's the urgent response. They went immediately. But five instead went to do something else. They went to buy oil, thinking that once they had done that, they would be ready. But it was too late. The invitation came but once. We think of the ark. Once the eight had gone in, the door was shut. It's too late then to enter. You've got to rise immediately and do it. In Luke chapter 17 and verse 31, Jesus says, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. In Luke chapter 17 and verse 36, two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. That is, one will be ready and the other will not. Like the five foolish virgins, such will have not prepared their minds for the moment of the angel's appearing and invitation. It will surely be the final test of our readiness for his return. Our acceptance that, although we are utterly unworthy of this great invitation, we accept it, knowing that in Jesus our sins have been forgiven. A final act of faith, illustrated in our willingness to drop everything immediately and go with the angel. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 10, we read, the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Brothers and sisters, it is absolutely vital that we are ready to respond immediately. And the preparation is made now. We read recently, a couple of months back, a wonderful event which illustrates the importance of being ready to go immediately. We find it in the well-known story of Abraham sending his servant to find a wife for Isaac. We have the record in Genesis 24 and verse 4. Abraham tells his servant, "Go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac." Here we have the remarkable picture of the servant, the messenger or angel, being sent out to take a wife, a bride for the son of promise, a bride who knew of but had never seen her intended bridegroom. Verse 5, the servant said to Abraham, "Peradventure, the woman will not be willing to follow me." Again, we see an element of choice in the response of the woman who is to be the bride. There is no compulsion in bringing her back. She must make the decision. Verse 58, "Wilt thou go with this man?" She said, "I will go." Not a moment's hesitation. Her response was immediate. She was a Gentile bride, and she married the son of promise. The bridegroom was ready, waiting for her. Brothers and sisters, what would have happened had Rebecca refused to go with the servant? Verse 8, Abraham's reply was clear. "If the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be free from this oath of mine." She would have been left behind, just as the five foolish virgins were, and the man who wanted to turn back in the field. In this, we have a beautiful foreshadowing of our acceptance of the angel's invitation to go to Jesus, our bridegroom. Just as Rebecca went to marry Isaac, the son of promise, we too will go to marry, if we are ready, the greater son of promise. When we take the bread and wine this morning, it must truly represent our wish to watch with him for one brief hour of our probation. Watching with him is an untiring effort, a constant vigil. It is a life spent in contemplation of him and consideration of our own ways. Brothers and sisters, it is achieved, firstly, by diligent daily reading of God's word and meditation on it. Secondly, it thrives by frequent assembling together and conversation one with another. And thirdly, it is sustained by earnest and ceaseless prayer. Jesus knows the difficulties that face us in this life. He said in Matthew chapter 26, in verse 41, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he tells us how it is possible to overcome. Matthew 26, verse 41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. If the set time is in the coming year, and we are ready to welcome our Lord immediately, we hear the invitation, it will be a happy new year and usher in for us those endless days of joy and happiness. Thank you.